Mark chapter 2, we will read the verses 1 through 17. Our text is verses 13 through 17, the banquet scene with Levi. But because there are some things that tie these two scenes together, we'll start at verse 1. Mark 2, starting at verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, and they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been reading from the Gospel of Mark. So far we've seen Jesus healing the sick. But in today's story, he does not heal only the paralytic, but also forgives his sins. And that theme of forgiveness gets carried through when he eats with sinners. Jesus had asked the question, which is easier? Which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal? Now, from our perspective, it would be easier to forgive sins, simply because if you say that someone's sins are forgiven, there is no way of verifying that. Anyone could say it, so to speak. But no one else has the authority to do so. No one else is actually able to do so. But Jesus is. He is able to forgive sins. He demonstrates that clearly by healing the paralytic, forgiving the paralytic, and then confirming it with his miraculous healing. And when he eats with Levi, he says he has come to call sinners to repentance. In other words, he opens up this miracle of forgiveness to us all, because each and every one of us is a sinner. Now, not all of us will experience the miracle of healing in our lifetime, but all of us can experience the miracle of forgiveness, because Jesus came to call sinners. Jesus came to call sinners, and he proves it by eating a meal with Levi. That's a way of showing fellowship. Now, this morning we may celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We too have been called. This is the Lord's table. It is His supper, and we are invited. Just like those people were so many years ago, we are invited to sit at His table today. We can be assured that our sins are also forgiven if we respond to the call with faith. So this morning I may preach to you the gospel. Jesus came to call sinners. Therefore, come and sit at His table and come and share in His fellowship. Now, in our text, Jesus is still by the sea in Capernaum. And as we saw recently when we looked at the background to these passages, Capernaum was a border town which was located on the border of the territories of Herod Antipas and Philip. There was also a well-known road which went through there and which was used by caravans coming from Damascus. So there was no surprise that there's a tax office there. They charged duty and customs on all goods that were transported by sea and by land. And at the tax office, there's this man called Levi. Now, if you're very perceptive, then you may realize that in the other Gospels, this man is called Matthew. So what was it, Matthew or Levi? Well, it's one and the same thing. It was not unusual for people to have two names, Simon, Peter, right? Two names. Sometimes he's called Simon, sometimes he's called Peter. Some of you have a middle name, so you kind of have two names as well. So this is not uncommon. And in this passage, he's called Levi, and he was a tax collector. There were tax collectors there who collected income tax. There were other tax collectors who collected customs tax. And some of you may remember the story of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector who collected income tax. Levi collected customs tax. Tax collection in those days was often privatized. So the way it worked was someone would buy the right to collect customs duty, and sometimes the rights to these things were even auctioned off to the highest bidder. Then they would get local officials to collect the taxes, and Levi was one of these local officials. These people would often charge a commission. The local guys would charge a commission. Everybody charged a commission, so the local person would charge a commission on the taxes and pass it on to the next one, and he would charge, he would keep some of it for himself and pass the rest up as well. And so what ended up happening was that people were usually overcharged for their taxes. Tax collectors were generally Jewish because they spoke the language, and they were some of the most hated people in Jewish society. Think about it. At least if you have a leper or a paralytic, like in the first story, It's not his fault, right, that he's paralyzed, presumably. For a leper, it's not his fault that he has leprosy. People get these diseases. But a tax collector was someone who actually chose to do what he did. Most people considered them traitors. Anybody who was a tax collector was automatically excommunicated from the synagogue, their church, so to speak. Any money that a tax collector handled was tainted. You couldn't even donate it to charity. Any house that a tax collector entered would be unclean. Anything that a tax collector touched was unclean as well. These people were socially isolated. But the money was very good. And as is still the case today, if the money is good enough, you will find someone who does the job. So with that in mind, think about what it meant that Jesus called a tax collector to be his disciple and goes into his house to eat with him. The NKJV translates it to say that Jesus sat with them. Jesus sat with them, but actually they were reclining. There was a height of luxurious dining to lie on a couch and to be able to reach over and to grab bite-sized pieces of food. And if you reclined in the Roman style, this was usually a long dinner, a luxurious dinner. It's a feast. So this is a feast with Jesus as the central figure. And there's something happening here. In the background, this is a meal with a deeper meaning, because this feast imagery is something that you often find back in other places in the Bible. The banquet theme. And the way that worked out was this theme running through the Bible. First, you get Judgment Day, and then after that you get a banquet where all of God's people celebrate together. And that celebration is often portrayed as a banquet or a wedding feast. All of God's people are together. and God dines with him. And there's echoes of that in this picture of Jesus dining with Levi. So what do all of these people have in common? Well, they are all sinners just like us. Jesus explains in verse 17 that he has come to call sinners to repentance. It says in verse 17. Now, something that you should know is that the New King James Version is working from a minority manuscript tradition here. So these manuscripts that we have of the New Testament were all copied from each other, and occasionally a scribe would make an error. All of these errors have been, these copying errors have been cataloged, and you can divide the manuscript into different groups or families based on the peculiarities that are in them. So the New King James Version is working with a minority manuscript tradition here. Most of the manuscripts say they stop at the word sinners. So it says, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners, full stop. And that phrase, to repentance, is true. And you find that back in Luke. Probably one of the copyists remembered the sentence from Luke, and he inserted it here. So the correct reading here, the one that's original, is that the one that Mark wants us to focus on, is that Jesus says that he came to call sinners. And that's the gospel in its shortest possible form. Jesus came to call sinners. He came to die for sinners. What makes this intriguing, what makes it so scandalous to the scribes and the Pharisees, is that Jesus doesn't set any condition on his call. And this, listen carefully, this is the heart of the matter. There's no conditions. He didn't tell Levi, first you quit your business, and after that you can follow me when you're on track again. He sets no conditions at all. He comes to Levi in the middle of his tax collecting and he says, you, follow me. That's grace. And other people are exposed to this grace as well, aren't they? There are other tax collectors and sinners who come to join him at the banquet. Levi, this is probably his farewell banquet. And he invites all these other people to meet Jesus as well. And Jesus places no demands on them. He simply lets them share in the dinner with him. Now, it doesn't say whether any of them repented, although undoubtedly many would have, but it says that they ate with him. And that's the point that Mark wants us to focus on here. The extravagant love of Christ for sinners, that he calls people. Now, of course, once Levi does follow Jesus, he is no longer going to be a tax collector. There is repentance in that sense. In fact, like I said, the banquet may have been a farewell banquet. And we can be sure Levi did not go back to his former occupation because his spot would have been taken by someone else. And let's not forget that back in 1 verse 15, Jesus was preaching, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So it would be incorrect to say that a true relationship with Jesus does not involve repentance. It does involve repentance. But the point is that Jesus doesn't wait for Levi to repent and to get his life in order before he calls him. The call comes before then. The call is a call of Christ, his invitation, his obligation on his life, which requires a response of faith. And the same is true for us. This morning we too have been called to dine with the Lord. He calls us to sit at his table. And what was true of Levi is true of us. The Lord does not wait for us to have our life in order before he calls us. Think of the words of the form. We may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Jesus came to call sinners. In fact, he came to die for sinners. Think of what Paul says in Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. That's the whole point of the Lord's Supper. That bread and that wine represents his blood and his body. They deserve to remind us that Jesus died for sinners. And because Jesus alone died for sinners, Jesus alone can call sinners. Therefore, we must come at and sit at his table and we must share in his fellowship. Now we read in verse 16, and this is our second point, we read in verse 16 that when the scribes and Pharisees see him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they react negatively, to put it mildly. They say to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? And the fact that they spoke to his disciples means that Jesus is not accessible to them. Jesus is sitting in the place of honor in the house at this banquet. Everyone else is around him, so to speak. And maybe there are some followers of Jesus, some disciples. Not every disciple was one of the 12, but he had many followers. And in one way or the other, the Pharisees managed to communicate with some of these people. And they say, what's going on here? What is this? Why is he eating with these people? And the Pharisees are not going to go into the house to ask Jesus himself because they're going to be unclean. They don't want that. So Jesus hears about this anyway, and he quotes a proverb to them. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Then he goes on to apply it to their situation. He says, I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Now listen carefully. Don't get this wrong. He's not saying that there are two ways that you can get to heaven. One of them through forgiveness if you're a sinner, and one of them on your own if you're righteous. That would, of course, contradict everything else that the Bible says. We know from Romans 3, verse 23, for example, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the thing is, not everybody wants to acknowledge that. Just you may have encountered people before that are very sick and that are in denial. I say, no, it's just the flu. It'll go over. And, you know, meanwhile, they have a terrible disease. And so there are people who are sinners and who are in denial. In fact, this is the default setting for all of us, that we cannot truly understand our true condition until the Holy Spirit convicts us. So these people see themselves as being righteous. And the warning in the passage this morning is that for such people, there is no gospel of grace. If you don't see your need for Christ, you will not respond to his call either. You might even show up at the table, but it's more out of a sense of entitlement than anything else. And if that's true for you, then there is no fellowship with Christ for you. The only people who are truly going to be spiritually nourished are those who have true fellowship with Christ. Like it says in the section on self-examination, let everyone search his heart, whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. So in a few moments, many will be walking down this aisle and coming to the front. Think about that, boys and girls. Your parents are going to come here and sit at this table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now you should honor your father and your mother because the Lord has placed them in authority over you. Your parents are very wise. They're right about a lot of things. But when they come walking down that aisle, they say, they acknowledge, they confess that they are sinners as well. They're saying they have no righteousness of their own. They are publicly recognizing their own sin, their own failure, their own shortcoming. But they're also receiving God's strength and his promise of forgiveness by eating and drinking here. And one day, you will as well. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Here we acknowledge that we are sinners. We do not come to this supper to declare that we are righteous in ourselves. Jesus still calls sinners today. He still calls sinners to sit at his table. He calls sinners to share in his fellowship. So take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Amen.